Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Like, I went from being completely healthy to completely paralyzed and fighting for my life in the matter of days. And so it's a really big eye-opener just to show you like how short life is, how quickly things can change. It reminds people, you know, that to go after the things that you want to go after. If you have a goal in mind, you have something that you've always wanted to do, just do it now because you don't know when life is going to change. Showing other people that there is hope, no matter what it is that you're going through. You can overcome. We are so much stronger than we, I think we realize until we're out on the other side.
Welcome to Mentally a Badass, the podcast where we get real about mental health, mixing in some humor with honest conversation. I'm your host, Justine Rhodes, and whether we're laughing through the craziness or getting deep into the tough stuff, you're never in it alone. Every week, we hear from people across all walks of life, bringing their stories, wisdom, and a reminder that being a badass means embracing every part of the journey, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, Holly. Welcome to the Mentally a Badass podcast. I'm so happy to have you today.
I'm so excited to be on. Thank you so much for having me, Justine.
I'm excited to talk with you today about chronic illnesses, rare diseases. Your girl has one too. I don't know if I told you which one I had. Did I ever tell you?
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. Oh, I guess that kind of makes sense. It's like, it's not typically like a, hi, nice to meet you. I have glaucoma.
No, it's not something.
Yeah. So I have it in my right eye and it's pretty rare. I don't know. Have you ever heard of it?
I have, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, it's rare for my age. When I tell people I have it, they're like, they say to me, isn't that an old people disease? And I'm like, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. No, they really would say that to me. I'm not even lying to you. Say it just like that. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyways. Okay, so we're going to talk about GBS and CIPD. I need you to tell me what that is because I have no idea. And for the people who have no idea what it is, what does it stand for? What it is? Let's get into it.
For sure. So GBS is the rare disease that I was diagnosed with, and it stands for Guillain-Barré syndrome. And Guillain-Barré, where it was named from, was basically the doctors that discovered it. And so their doctors' names were Dr. Guillain and Dr. Barré. So that's where it came from, interesting enough. So what GBS is it's a rare autoimmune disorder. So it can be similarly compared to multiple sclerosis. So some people understand what that is, but they've seen it. Like Selma Blair is the famous actress who has it, Christina Applegate as well. So with MS, basically the immune system is attacking the brain and the spinal cord, and it causes a weakness. It can cause paralysis and that sort of thing. With GBS, it's very similar, except that it's causing the same sort of issues in the peripheral nerves, which is basically every nerve outside of your brain and outside of your spinal cord. So it can cause weakness, pain, paralysis in severe cases, pretty much in any part of your body. So that's what GBS is. CIDP is the more chronic version of it, and it's where it basically happens to somebody on a longer-term basis, whereas GBS is typically a very severe and sudden case, kind of very all at once.
Do you have it like in your family at all, in family history, or was just like a complete like blindsided?
Complete blindside, yeah. So GBS, they don't believe it's hereditary. There is no genetic link or anything. It's just kind of random. And I had never even heard of GBS before. I was completely healthy right before it hit me. And it was just changed my life forever.
That is so scary. And that's like one of my biggest fears too, of just getting blindsided. Because I was blindsided, huh? No pun intended. I was blindsided myself with the glaucoma because, I mean, I already did have eye issues. I was born with a congenital cataract and I had that, like my lens removed. So the right eye has always been like, they call it a special eye. Mm-hmm. I was a child, so they don't want to say like, oh, right. Your eye is fucked up. Like,
yeah.
be like, oh yeah, your eye is very sick. Like, no, honey, your eye is special. I'm like, yeah. They just didn't want to scare me. And I'm like, okay. Not everyone called it a special eye, but so I was blindsided when I was 17 years old. And they found it like the late stage too, which is crazy because I was like, that's like what kind of scares me sometimes is that you can do everything right. Absolutely. And then still get blindsided. It's like, I'm a huge like health person because of, I mean, and I'm sure you understand like being blindsided. And it's like, all you want to think about is like not having something else be blindsided, like disease wise or anything else happening to you, because it's truly traumatizing. When were you diagnosed?
So I was diagnosed, I would have been 26 at the time, and this would have been about 14 years ago. And I was at home. I had actually just given birth to my daughter like 3 weeks before. Mm-hmm. So I was at home and I was just recovering from having a C-section. I was adjusting to life being a new mom, and I was really excited and I was really happy and I was really healthy. Like, other than obviously just having a baby, going through pregnancy and all that, I had never had anything severe or I'd never really spent any time in even in a hospital before. So then I was at home and I was feeling fine and, you know, feeling tired and adjusting to life with a baby. And then one day I was walking up the stairs and I felt really weak, and I felt like it was really challenging to lift my leg up to take that step. And I kind of just brushed it off, figured I was just really tired. But then a couple hours later, I had this really severe pain in my neck, and I tried to just ignore it, but the pain kind of got worse. And then the weakness in my legs got worse. I ended up actually going to a Medi Center and seeing a doctor because the pain got so bad. And the doctor's like, no, I think you just have a pinched nerve. Just take some pain meds, go to bed. And if it continues, then you can come see us next week. And I went home. I would try to go to sleep that night. The pain was so severe. I was doing all these stretches. And in the middle of the night, my daughter woke up to nurse. And when I stood up to go to her, my legs actually buckled and I fell to the ground. And so that's when I knew, you know, something's wrong.
Yeah.
I can barely even walk anymore. So I had my husband at the time, I had him drop me off at the hospital. Obviously, I had a newborn. So I was like, I don't want her to come in with me.
Yeah.
Just drop me off. I will be out of here in no time, I'm sure. I have this really severe pinched nerve, which is what I thought it was. I went into the ER and, you know, within a few hours of being in there and waiting for the doctor to see me, I could barely walk.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Walk anymore. And the doctor that I saw there, he thankfully was like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but something is wrong with you. And I need a specialist to come down and see you. And the specialist that I saw had seen a case of GBS before, recognized the signs, and said, I think you have this rare disorder. And it's called GBS. It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And you need to be admitted. And we really don't know how severe this is going to be, but you need to basically expect for the worst. And I just remember thinking like, no, I've got a baby and I'm healthy. Like, I got to go home. Like, I can't be admitted to the hospital. But yeah, I had no idea that everything would go very, very quickly. And the paralysis actually spread up to my neck, spread through my body until I could no longer breathe on my own. And within 72 hours, I was rushed to ICU and put on a ventilator.
Oh my gosh. Like, just listening to that story, that is like literally a nightmare. I'm so sorry. You had to go through that. Like, right now, as we're talking, you're like so chill. You're like so laid back. You're like, yeah, I had to go on a ventilator. No big deal. But I'm sure you said your story a lot. So I'm sure it's not your first rodeo telling your story right now. So, but it's just like, yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh. You're like, yeah, it happens. I mean, honestly, when I talk about my stuff, I just like make a joke of everything. I know it's serious, but totally. Like, it's,
it's like how I cope, and that's like part of this brand too. It's like mental health, yes, very serious, but like sometimes you just gotta like, you know, throw in something for like comic relief. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? Do you ever get like mad where you just like, you just feel like it's so unfair?
Absolutely. I mean,
like feeling so angry.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in the hospital, I was in ICU for almost 3 months, basically on life support. And my daughter was growing up basically in front of me. Like she was there with me every day, but I couldn't be her mom and I couldn't raise her. And my family was basically doing that for me. And for a very long time, I was like, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? Why did this happen? Like as soon as my daughter was born, I never got to be a mom. I never got to experience life with her. And I was very, very angry and down for a very long time.
Yeah. Do you ever, like, this kind of goes through my head, and I don't like ever being annoyed or negative towards like thoughts towards people, but we're human, of course. Do you ever get like annoyed or like not mad, but just more like annoyed and irritated with people who just like actively don't take care of themselves? We're all human. Here and there I have my Taco Bell or whatever, but I try to do everything to avoid having like any issues with my health. And then some people just take it for granted.
Absolutely.
And that's the best way for me to say it without sounding like a bitch.
Yeah. No, I do agree. And I mean, like when I went, everything that I went through, you know, like I said, it wasn't genetic and it wasn't anything that I did. It was just kind of hit me. But then you do see people that really don't take care of their body and you go like, you're just so fortunate. You don't realize how lucky you are to have your health. And there's so many people out there that don't have their health and for no fault of their own. So I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah. And then also just like grieving how you used, you know, when you were healthy and such, like those moments of grief, like you said this, I mean, you were diagnosed a bit ago, right? So yeah. You've been through a lot of healing and going through it, but do you have like nights where you're just like, you just have to have a good cry? Because sometimes I do, to be honest with you. So I'm 29. And for a good 25 years, because I've always had eye problems since birth, I was always so positive about my whole situation. I was like, I have my left eye, being grateful, which it's a good thing to be grateful. But more of, I was being shrunk from my mom. Because she always blames herself, even though it's not obviously her fault. Like stuff like this happens. And it's kind of like, my mom didn't do anything wrong. She did everything right with the pregnancy. Even the doctors were like, you didn't do anything. It's just, it's a fluke. And I don't know if that's the right word for it, but like, so I was just being, you know, obviously it's not fun being blind in one eye. I prefer to have both my eyes. That'd be nice. But I think it just started like catching up to me when I was 25 years old, and I just started bawling and having mental breakdowns and angry, like, oh my God, I was so proud of myself for staying positive and just having such a good, being a good sport with everything. And then bam, I just lost it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, you get to a point where you're just like, you try to be strong. And I think that's a huge part of the process, right? Like, is you want to be strong. You want to be able to get through whatever you're getting through. But there's going to be days where you're not going to be able to. And you just have to remind yourself, like, you know, that's okay. It's okay to have bad days. It's okay to break down. You just got to promise yourself not to stay there.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And it actually did feel very good because, we can talk about medical trauma. That's a huge thing too. Have you actually, I feel like with your experience, right, you did go to the doctor and they said, oh, it's probably just a pinched nerve. So in your head, and as you would think, because you're supposed to trust your doctors, it's just a pinched nerve, no big deal, we're good, it'll go away. And then bam, this happens. Did you ever feel like anxious to keep, like, you know, going to more doctors and not trusting them?
Hi, I'm Melissa from Emotionally Unavailable. Emotionally Unavailable is a transformative podcast that began as a personal journey toward emotional availability and has blossomed into a vibrant space for growth, healing, and connection. We cover a wide range of topics such as human design, astrology, the journey of deconstructing from religion, to name a few, all aimed at fostering deeper self-love and understanding. So tune in and embark on a journey of exploration, growth, and community as we illuminate the path towards emotional availability and authentic living.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Absolutely. I mean, still to this day, not that I don't trust them. I think that they're not as smart and as knowing as we think. And that's not a fault of their own. I mean, the body is so complicated and there's so many rare diseases out there. There's so many things and there's so much that happens. And there's so many disorders, diseases that they haven't figured out a cure from, even though they're doing so much research and studies and everything, right? And there's just things that they just can't quite figure out. So I don't put blame on them for that. But what I've learned from my experience is, you know, they really don't know as much as we thought that they do. And they're doing a lot of guessing, a lot of educated guessing, which is fair. But yeah, when I deal with doctors now, it's like, okay, yeah, you're definitely not as smart as the world likes to think. And not to say that they're not smart. They absolutely are. But there's a lot of stuff that I've learned, even from being in the hospital as a patient. And the doctors have tried to say like, oh no, this is the case or this is how things are. And I'm like, no, that's not. I lived it and I am an advocate for the disease that I went through. And, you know, the people that are living whatever disease or disorder or whatever it is, the health issue, they're the experts, not the doctors.
Yes, absolutely. When I was also blindsided with appendicitis, it almost burst. And
my gosh.
Yeah, so I would like have like very severe pain in that one area. And I just thought it was just, I don't know, not a stomach ache. It wasn't that kind of pain. But I just thought it was like my ovaries because I have history of ovarian cysts. So I just thought it was that. And then it would be so much pain that I would be up all night, all nighter. I could not sleep at all. And so, but then it will go away and I'll be fine for like 4 months or something like that. And it'll come back. Yeah. And then it'll come back. And I'm just here thinking like, okay, do I have some stomach issues going on here? So I went to one of those doctors and got an endoscopy done. Well, first I went to my primary, then they, of course, you know, refer you. And I went to get an endoscopy done and they're like, oh yeah, we see some inflammation in your stomach. And they were just giving me kind of like basic stuff. Oh yeah, don't eat tomatoes or like, you know, just things like that. Like stay away from processed food or like just stuff I already, like it's common sense to me. And that was pretty much it. And so I think when it was still happening, I don't remember too well if they were trying other things, but no one could really, I think I was just taking whatever they said and called it a day.
Yes.
Because I trusted them. And then all of a sudden the pain was coming back. This was like a year after, by the way. I was like, I remember because I had this pain in one apartment and then another pain in the other apartment. I think kind of like moved over the year. So it was like probably a whole like year I've had like these problems on and off. And it was really bad one night. And I'm also always get nervous. Like if I go to the hospital and nothing really happens and I'm just like stuck with a big bill.
Absolutely.
And that's which kind of stinks, but then here we are in the US. That's just reality for everybody. So I always like try to make sure I choose properly when I take advantage of the emergency room. So I was like, well, my roommate at the time, she's like, Justine, I'm taking you to the ER. I'm like, no, it's whatever. Like, it's good. Like, I was being so stubborn, but she was like, no, we're going. And she like literally like pretty much dragged me out. And I was like, okay, went to the nearest hospital. And I was, oh my God, it was so bad. I like pretty much threw up in the hospital bathroom, but didn't really throw up anything. You know what I mean? Like, I hate that feeling where you're just throwing up and like nothing comes out. I know it's kind of like TMI, but it was like so bad where I feel like I was going to fall to the ground, but I didn't want to be that person in the ER being like, get me in. Like, you know, like I don't want to be that person because I understand how the ER works when it comes to priority. Unless I am screaming on the floor, then I guess I'm considered priority. But like, Unless it like involuntary comes out, if I can still control myself, I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? But then my friend was like, okay, I'll go be that person. I was like, oh God, you're being I'm like, hey, you're so embarrassing. But okay. I mean, it's actually good that she did that though.
Absolutely.
You know,
what you need that.
Yeah. So kind of like, I don't want to bother them. But so I got in and then they gave me a bunch of morphine because I was just so much pain. And then they're like, okay, so what's going on? I'm like, I'm having pain here. It could be maybe cysts. Like, I think they're like saying, oh, like what I need. And I was like, I don't know, maybe an ultrasound. Maybe it's my ovaries. Maybe a cyst burst. Like, that's all I can really think of. I did not think of appendix at all. Right. And then they're like, okay, we'll get an ultrasound done for you. And then I got that done, came back. And then I told my friend, I was like, you can go. I guess I'm pretty sure it's probably just my ovarian cyst. Like, you can go home. I'll take a lift home. Because it was like 3 in the morning. It was like, or 1 in the morning, something like that. She had work in the morning. So I felt really bad. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. Just go home. I'll take an Uber or whatever. And then as soon as she left, 10 minutes later, the doctor comes in. And he was like, so we think we saw something. And I'm like, huh? What? And they're like, yeah, we think you may have appendicitis, but we're going to have a CAT scan first. And I'm like, cool. And I'm all by myself.
Oh my gosh,
and my parents, my parents are in like in a different state too. So I called my dad because I had to like let them know before I go into like a surgery or anything that, my parents should be aware of that. And I said, like, I call my dad, not my mom, because my mom, she does kind of take things to a different level with her anxiety. And I just don't want to freak her out if it's not necessary. But she knew something was wrong when, like, she heard my dad pick up the phone at 3 in the morning from me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, okay, don't tell mom. I don't know for sure. I have to get a CAT scan done, but I may have surgery for, and I told him the whole thing. He was like, okay, well, like, let me know. So, okay. Got the CAT scan, came back. He was like, yep, we're going to put you in surgery. And I was like, cool. Yay! You can imagine me just in that bed, just laughing like crazy. Because that's what I do. Anytime I'm in like a really serious bad situation, I just laugh the whole time.
Yeah, you're just—it's like, really it's bad. Just the craziness of it.
Like, I could be held at gunpoint. I'll just be laughing at them. Like, or I'll be like kidnapped, and they're like, oh, "This is so much fun. Thank you for picking me." Like, oh, they do not want to kidnap me. I'll be so annoying. So I had a call back and actually told my parents, "Okay, yeah, I'm going to surgery." And then my mom's like, okay, I'm going to get the next plane out. So she did get the next plane out. Well, plane after the first plane, because the first plane was booked. She literally came with nothing but her purse.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she just had like her medication, her purse, but like she didn't pack. She literally just got her purse and just left and went on a plane.
Wow.
I know. Very iconic, right? And then later on that week, we get to like Walmart to get her clothes. But yeah, obviously I'm fine. But the doctor did say it was the close one.
Wow.
And because, you know, people can die if it bursts.
Absolutely.
And I think in my head, I'm just like, that could have been my death right there if we didn't have modern medicine.
Absolutely.
You ever just think that if we didn't have modern medicine that obviously people did die earlier, but I just think, okay, 23 would have been my age.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dubai. You know what I mean? Going back to modern medicine, so what do you do to like treat or cope? Like, how does your day look? What's the meds? Like, what's going on with it?
So when I was first diagnosed, I had to have basically something similar to a blood transfusion.
Oh, okay.
And basically I had to get the concept is that, you know, my immune system is attacking the nerves. So they need to get the healthy antibodies from donor blood and put it into mine and basically take out my blood. So yeah, it was this huge process. So I did that. Then I was on a ventilator for about 3 months. And then after that, had to learn how to breathe on my own, had to get off of the ventilator, out of ICU, then had to learn how to basically use every muscle in my body. So I had to learn how to hold cutlery, feed myself, drink from a cup, and then eventually how to walk. And I dealt with a lot of nerve pain at that point, just from the nerve damage. So I was on some medications, gabapentin, Lyrica. I was on just a lot of different medications to just make sure that my body's working properly.
Yeah.
So now 14 years later, I mean, the pain is a lot less. I still have it on a day-to-day basis. I'm not on any specific medication anymore. And then I do have fatigue as well. So just, you know, bouts of just severe exhaustion just from my nervous system just being so damaged from what I went through.
Okay, so like at this moment, it's severe exhaustion, fatigue, which sucks. So you're medication free?
I am medication free. Yes. I could, I'm on a kind of a cusp of needing it versus not needing it. But I just kind of use things when the pain comes up. So I use medical cannabis for the nerve pain.
Love that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. It works wonderful. It works better than any other pharmaceutical medication that I was on for many years.
Yeah, absolutely. I always debate on doing that myself, like the medical marijuana, because they always say like glaucoma patients to go on it.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know, and I've asked that to, I don't know if I asked for both doctor and just like a holistic non-doc, I'm not sure, but it's proven that it lowers eye pressure, but only the time that I'm on it.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like something that's like long term. It's like I pretty much have to be high all the time.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm not saying I have to get high, but like I pretty much have to be like smoking all the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be like Wiz Khalifa. Like just always just Snoop Dogg and just, it's living life. But also my apartment complex, because they have rules and stuff with the lease. And there is a marijuana section.
Interesting.
Yeah, there is a marijuana section. And it does say in there, like, they even don't allow medical marijuana. And I was like, really? And I'm like, I guess that's not illegal. I'm thinking about disability.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some maybe, like, loop. Because it's not public housing.
Yeah, this brought probably some little.
Yeah, and there's other apartments.
Yeah.
It's probably because it's not like it's public. And I can have it's not like it's my only choice.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's what it is. If I had no other choice but here, then I think that would probably be, assuming. I don't know. Yeah. I could be wrong. I mean, who knows? Who knows these days, if you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I know if people aren't following, I like walk out and I just smell like weed. I'm like, no one cares. I mean, you do you. I was like, I wish I was you. I wish I didn't care. But I have anxiety. So, I mean, marijuana is good for anxiety too. Have you ever done like gummies?
I personally actually haven't. I've heard really? Good things about it.
You heard good things about it?
I have, yeah.
Really?
For people that struggle with like smoking it, that people that struggle with like, you know, the coughing and all that kind of stuff. But some people prefer just being able to take a gummy.
Yeah. You want to hear a funny story?
Sure.
And you're like, oh, I'm excited for this one. It's really funny. It wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now. And I love telling this story. So I do social media management for clients, right? And I did have a client that sold like edibles and pre-rolls and all that stuff, right? And so naturally, they send me all their products, like once we start working together. And so they are known for like more of their gummies, like their fun cubes is what they call it. Mm-hmm. And so I've had in the past where here and there, I'll like smoke weed socially, like when I was in college or whatever. So I was like, okay, let me just take a gummy or whatever. And it says take one. So, you know, naturally following the instructions, I took one and I was like not on earth anymore.
My God.
Yeah, I was like messaging my friend because at first I felt really chill. Like, oh, no one can piss me off. It was like my brain was just complete like I was a monk, like namaste. Like I was like, this is so awesome. I'm loving this. Texting my friend who's done like edibles here and there. And I was like, hey, I just took this. And I told her like, oh, it's 60 milligrams. And she's like, well, see you on the flip side. And I was like, huh? Like, what do you mean see you on the flip side? And so 20 minutes later, I was on the flip side.
Oh my gosh.
Because you know it, like you have and you feel fine. You just feel chill. Nothing's bad. And then all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah.
Where am I? Who am I? Oh my God. I went into a panic attack because I already have horrible anxiety. So like people who have horrible anxiety, you take that gummy, you're going into a panic attack.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I thought I was dying. Like, oh, I truly believe that was like, because all of a sudden, like, I felt dizzy. I felt like I was going to fall to the floor. And, like, because typically, from what people say, it's like it puts you to sleep. Like, you just sleep it off or whatever.
Yeah.
I was scared to sleep. I was so scared. Because I thought if I fell on the floor, like, and slept and just kind of, like, let it happen, I would be dead. Like, that's literally, truly what I believed at that time.
Your mind. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so when this was happening, I was getting dizzy and I was starting having a hard time controlling my body. Like, that was horrifying. And so I was like, I literally was just like screaming to God. I was like, seriously, out of all the ways I'm going to die, I literally was just like on my knees, like, come on, seriously? Like, you couldn't do it like a better way? Like, why this way? The stuff that just went through my mind, I was like really pissed off. I'm like, come on, this is how I'm going to die? This is it? Seriously? Because I took a freaking gummy like an idiot?
Yeah, no kidding. Like,
and then it got worse and worse and worse. And my whole nervous system was on fire.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally, like, I was burning. Like, I was just like, oh my God, it's destroying my nervous system. Like, I felt like...
Yeah, like, and that's why I don't take gummies.
See, and now you're definitely not going to.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, kidding. If you did, it's 5 milligrams. You're supposed to start right. with 5, not 60.
Wow.
Not 60. Yeah. Oh, and then, God. And I was so mad. I'm just like, wait, why is my client saying,
say
right? I'm like, this is meant for like stoners.
Yeah.
Because my boyfriend took one. And he's not a stoner anymore. He doesn't smoke anymore. But at the time he was, and he was like fine. He was living his best life, had the best sleep of his life. And I'm just like out here just thinking I'm going to die. Like, must be nice. You guys are all healthy and enjoying your gummies. And I'm here half blind with a panic attack. We're doing great over here. Oh my God. Yeah. So it's a funny story. I like to tell it and laugh now because at the time I was not laughing. Sure. Like, it was not a good time. I was traumatized. You would never see me eat a gummy.
Mm.
Ever. Have you ever heard of Kratom?
I haven't.
No way. Okay, so no. I'm gonna tell you what Kratom is. Okay, so since you like you already do like the whole medical marijuana, like Kratom is not, well, it's, I don't consider it marijuana, but it is a plant medicine. So I'm trying to explain this. So it is a plant and it does a great job with also like relaxing muscles with like there's different kind of different routes. So one could be energy, one can be like muscle relaxation, one can be like joy. So it's like kind of like different moods. And when you have like the red vein, which is the considered the muscle one, like I have like neck problems and everything. So if you have that, like all those problems go away.
Mm-mm.
And it's such a, so like for pain and all of that, like right. I definitely like recommend it. But the thing, but just keep in mind that it's actually could be addictive. So just like if you do use it, just be mindful of that.
Absolutely.
Like how alcohol can be addictive. So, because if you have like, because you're not supposed to have Kratom like every single day, because that can kill your liver.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that once in a while I'll have it and I prefer it over alcohol.
Interesting.
Like if honestly, I kind of wish it was like the same price as alcohol. Like when it comes to like going to a grocery store and buying it like cans, because it is a little pricey, but also it's really good quality and it does amazing things. So it's, I mean, I get it. I understand. And it's also not like well known.
Right.
So yeah, once I've it gets of it. More of it, then I'm sure that it will grow more.
Yeah.
Where do you live? Like what state or where you live? Or
I'm curious. Canada.
You know, I was like thinking in my head, I'm like, of course I'm going to say what state and it's not going to be the U.S.
Yeah, I'm in Canada.
I knew that was going to happen. I was thinking, I'm like, I know there could be anyone from all over the world. But I'm like, okay, I got to, because I want to say like, oh, where do you live? I don't want to look like a creep. So I was like, oh, I should just be like, oh, so where are you? I don't know. Like, how do I not sound like, oh, so what's your address? Yeah, that's cool. What part of Canada?
I am from Edmonton, Alberta. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I went to Vancouver for a couple of nights a couple of months ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, I haven't been out of the country in a while, so
yeah,
cool experience.
Yeah, it's pretty far away from where I am. That's probably about a 12-hour drive.
Yeah, that seems about right. I was in like the Seattle area, so I took a train. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So yeah, so the reason I asked that is because I'm in Florida, and so it's more known in Florida. Like there's more places, which kind of makes sense because we're like a tropical area.
Yeah.
But I think it's from the Pacific Islands, from my knowledge, from what I like research and such. And then there's kava, which I actually just had kava today. I have kava the days I do podcast episodes because naturally I'm an anxious person, as you can probably tell. And people scare me. Not that you're scary. I just like... Nothing like, oh,
you need
I have to
take a little edge off. That's fine.
Yeah. Because this is like every time I do this, it is a challenge for me because I have social anxiety, but I do it because it's like it helps people.
For
and,
sure.
You know, I got to do what I got to do, right?
Yeah, step outside of your comfort zone sometimes and then you feel better after.
Yes. The kava just like helps like, it calms
Bring
me.
That so down, yeah.
Yeah. And the best way to explain what kava is, it's a natural Xanax. That's what people say.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And kava is not addictive too. So that's also really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. I don't know if they have it in Canada, what the laws are in Canada.
I'll have to see. Yeah.
No idea. But yeah, no, it's definitely, I feel like you would definitely like it. So yeah, highly encourage you to check that out. So let's get to the part where you decided that you wanted to help others. Like, what made you want to write a book? What made you want to do what you do? Like, you're online helping people. Like, what made you want to do that?
So basically, when I was going through it myself, I felt very alone. I felt very isolated. I felt like there was nobody that could understand what I was possibly feeling, experiencing, especially at my age. You know, everyone else that I knew was completely healthy, had never had any health issues in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And then also dealing with a rare disease that most people have never heard of. Most doctors had never dealt with it. So it was just it felt very alone. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want anyone else to go through that. And I didn't want other people to feel the way that I did. There was so many times where I was like, you know, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can get through this. And I wanted to give up. And I knew that when I did recover, that I wanted to show other people that, you know, there is hope. There is reason to keep fighting. Even though when you're in ICU on a ventilator, fighting for your life, completely paralyzed, I recovered and I got back to my life. And, you know, I'm a mom again and I get to do everything that I wanted to do. And I just want to show other people that you can come out on the other side.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. Have you ever seen the movie? And it's also a book. It's called The Secret.
I did see it many, many years ago, but I was
little old.
And I don't remember it, but I know the concept of it. Yeah.
Yeah. There is basically talking about like healing and your like mindset and brain or whatever and such. So I think what I was trying to get to the point of that is, I think what I'm trying to say is, the fact that you're like in a, like, I mean, it's not gone. You're obviously your disease. It's still there. But I think that's just amazing that you're not suffering like using the ventilator. Like you're not, like you're alive. You're here. You're talking. Mm-hmm. You're doing what you're doing. And yes, and seeing someone in a ventilator, it's scary. And so just like showing that and like showing like proof on social media. And this is one thing I love about social media.
Me
is
too.
That there's, and this is like literally what my whole podcast is about. Is that the people that I bring on, they have a story and they have like came out on the other side with so much wisdom and like they've gotten through it. Or, I mean, they obviously everyone can still be experiencing, but they know how to cope. They know this. Mm-hmm. And it's that beacon of hope, you know, like,
yeah,
I feel like my podcast, it touches on a lot of different things. Lately, it's actually been touching on domestic violence. I've been getting a lot of people that came, a lot of women coming to me who just got out of like a narcissistic abuse. I've been noticing that recently. But yeah, so it's like a little bit of everything. And that's like the biggest thing. I think that's, you know, I try to like think of my words because it's really, you know, some people always say, oh, everything happens for a reason. And I don't want to ever say that to someone who experienced something so horrible, but I guess just thinking in like you're being like that beacon of hope for the mass, like so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
I agree. I think like, yeah, saying everything happens for a reason can be challenging to people
yeah.
that have experienced something
right.
traumatic or something that they feel like ruined their life or something.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do believe that, you know, you don't have to see it that way. You can always just try to find like any kind of gift or wisdom that you can take out of that experience.
Yeah.
So for me, like when I was in the hospital, I mean, I lost out on the first six months of my daughter's life.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I remember, like I said, I was so angry and bitter about that for a long time. But then now instead I choose to look at the gifts, and instead of saying like, you know, everything happened for a reason, I just say, you know, this is what I got out of it. And mm-hmm. now like I'm so grateful that I get to be her mom, that it's actually like made our relationship even stronger now. So, and it's given me this ability to share my story and help other people. So everything that I went through, as horrible as it was, you know, there was so much good that came out of it as well.
Yeah. And that's like the mindset that I was like referring to is like, yeah, I was like trying to choose my wording, but you knew exactly what I was saying. What was good. Exactly. I'm like, I don't want to be on here and be like, so everything happens for me. Like, you know, yeah. like I, cause I, you know, I never, cause I mean, I get it. I mean, we're not, I'm never, ever going to say that I understand you, because you have different disease, had different experiences. So I always say in the beginning, I'm like, I would never, ever, ever say, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. Has people ever said that to you, by the way?
Some people, yeah. I've had people say, I can relate. I'm something like this, similar. And it's like, no.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it kind of feels like isolating, because with yours too, it's, I don't know anybody who has it, especially with my age group. Like, I think I typed in glaucoma on TikTok just to see if people were, you know, talking about it or whatever. And there was like, I think one person, but when I was trying to like chat with her back and forth, she was very private. So every time I would like get to know her, she would kind of be a little like, well, I didn't say things like, oh, where do you live? I think I don't know. Maybe I did, but I wasn't asking for her address, or just kind of like, you know, just getting to know somebody. But yeah, I mean, I respect that. She just obviously just, she doesn't know me. I could be a creeper for all she knows. But besides that, I didn't see mm-hmm. much when I typed in glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt very like isolating. And like, you know, I get really depressed and sad about it. And, you know, my family, my boyfriend, they do everything they can to be there for me, but it's like, they're never going to get it.
No, exactly. And that's why it's so important to find people that do get it. If you can, it's hard, but social media does make that a little bit easier.
Yeah. So, and that's when I saw you too, I was like, okay, I'm going to ask her if she ever feels like that, like super alone. I feel like that's like some of the hardest, that's like the hardest, one of the hardest parts. And
absolutely.
Then of course the actual treatment itself and such. So for someone who is struggling with a rare disease, and struggling mentally with a rare disease, like feeling alone, feeling scared, having those types of moments. Like, I know this is kind of a very broad question, but like, what's a piece of advice that you would give them?
Yeah, there's a few things I would say. I would say like, one, yeah, get on social media and see, like you said, like type it in TikTok, see if you can find people. See if you can find people that are talking about it, sharing their own experiences. See if you can find organizations. So go on Google and look for association and just find your people, find your tribe, find the people that will understand, even if they're, you know, across the world, if they're younger, they're older, you know what I mean? Just somebody that might be able to chat with you, maybe somebody that is either going through it already right now, or they've already mm-hmm. come out on the other side and they can give you some advice. Just being with somebody and chatting with somebody who gets it mm-hmm. can really, really help you feel a lot less alone.
Yeah. And that's the reason why, well, for mental health wise, I just started like the Facebook group for Mentally a Badass so people can meet each other.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so powerful. If someone like struggles with the same like mental health disorder, like bipolar, for example, or BPD, I feel like Instagram can only go so far when it comes to community. I feel like people mm-hmm. can like comment on our like the content, but there's not much interaction between each other.
Right. Yes.
So it's like we have this audience. But we want them to talk to each other too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I started doing that Facebook group, but I don't know what to do. Do you have anything like that where you have like a community?
I used to, but no, I mean, I'm part of like the GBS community, and that's mm-hmm. just kind of worldwide. And there's some Facebook groups that way, but yeah, nothing like specific for like a smaller group.
So what do they do in that group? Like, what do you guys do? Like, it just, is there like an admin that posts?
It's mostly just questions. Yeah. People that are asking questions.
Oh, yeah. See, I have like 63 people in my group. and like, no one really, I mean, there's one person that actually try to say, hey, who wants to talk? Or
or
something like that. I'm like, yeah, you go. And then one person did reply. So hopefully they connected. Yeah. But it's been pretty quiet. But like I said, it's like 60 something people. It's not like a lot. So like probability wise, but I'm still just trying to figure out how to make it engaging. Like I have no idea.
Post your own questions and say, have you ever dealt with this? And
My most recent one was, do you guys have sleep debt? Do you have sleep debt? Do you know what sleep debt is?
No. Like where you're bored, like where like sleeping and then you're feeling tired the next day and you're borrowing.
Sleep debt. So D-E-B-T. Like, you know, credit card debt or So it's pretty much like you know, like during the week, people are busy, they can lose sleep and they have to wake up early. And then like in the weekends, they sleep till like noon or whatever. So the reason the body does that, it could have sleep debt.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's what I asked. I pretty much was like asking, do you guys struggle with your sleep? Do you guys like sleep till like noon on Sundays? Because you sleep like for 2 hours on like a Tuesday night. Like, it's so interesting. I got this app. It's called Rise. Mm-hmm. And it tracks, it has like a AI algorithm where like it tracks your energy based on how you interact with it. It's really good, actually. It's really smart. It tells you when your peak is, like it tells me the window of my grogginess. So it's usually like an hour and then like my morning peak and then my afternoon dip and then my evening dip and then my wind down and then my melatonin window.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, this is so, I would love for them to sponsor me. Like, I'm literally like, I feel like they're such a good, would be such a good sponsor. So I'm like, should I just go for it and just find their like.
Yeah, just talk about them as much as possible.
Honestly, you got to be bold with things. Like, I just put myself on a billboard recently. I really did for this podcast.
Amazing.
You got to do what you got to do, right? Okay, let's talk about your book. When did you write your book?
Well, I started writing my book pretty much immediately after I got out of the hospital. And then I ended up publishing it pretty quickly. And then I pulled it and I rewrote it because life changed. And like I continued to go through life and have residuals that I was dealing with GBS. So then I rewrote it and then I republished it. And so it came out, it would have been January of last year.
Oh, nice. So yeah, definitely really fairly new. I think when I was reading about you, I think you were first working on it.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because when I was reading about you, it said working on memoir. But then when I looked at your website, it was there to buy. And I was like, okay, I guess it's been a bit. So.
Yep.
So.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So like, what is it? Like, what would people find? I know you're talking about, of course, rare disease, and like, what can people like learn from the book and like some examples of takeaways?
Yeah, I think number one is just how quickly life can change. Like, I went from being completely healthy to completely paralyzed and fighting for my life in the matter of days, and so it's a really big eye opener just to show you like how short life is, how quickly things can change. It reminds people, you know, that to go after the things that you want to go after. If you have a goal in mind, you have something that you've always wanted to do, just do it now because you don't know when life is going to change. Obviously, the book talks about my entire experience from the time of being diagnosed to my recovery into life afterward. And so there's a lot of takeaways just from that of the very difficult journey that I went through, all the challenges along the way, all the doubts, all the fears, and then getting through it and coming out on top and, you know, getting into the gym and getting into the best shape of my life and just recovering and just showing other people that there is hope. No matter what it is that you're going through, you can overcome. We are so much stronger than we realize until we're out on the other side.
Yeah, some people say like it makes us resilient.
Exactly.
Like that's what they say. And I still like keep, even though my disease is kind of like they have no cure or anything like that. They say the nerves in my eye are dead forever. They say that to me too. And you have to be a med the rest of your life. So it sounds sad, but I still have hope, you know, especially how fast modern medicine is progressing. So I have to keep that hope. You know what I mean? Like I have to. I'm 29 years old. I still got time.
Exactly.
I was diagnosed when I was, did I say I was diagnosed when I was 17? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I did. I talk a lot. I don't even know what I say half the time. I look back and I'm like, oh, so I did say that. But my mind just runs a million miles a minute. I don't know if you noticed.
You're good.
You know, growing up, people said I talk too much. So I got a, so I started a podcast. Yeah. So I started a podcast.
Perfect.
Isn't it? And put myself on a billboard. Maybe I should put the billboard like in my hometown.
There you go.
Put it like with the grocery store, like right. Cause they actually have like some boards there. Like we can walk and see it. Like just put my face right there. Be like, you said I talk a lot. And
Here I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now.
Oh my gosh. I feel like this is like so much fun. I love like, you know, I feel like I also like how I'm like a comedian today. I don't know what it is.
But you get to meet a lot of people. You get to have lots of fun conversations, I bet.
Yeah, definitely. And I, you know, the most rewarding thing for me too is that when you laugh, it just, I don't know, it just feels so nice because for a second you'll be like, you'd be definitely very focused and like listening. And then all of a sudden you just be laughing. I'm like, oh, okay. She thinks I'm funny. Maybe I should be a comedian. I think that would be really funny if I was a comedian. Yeah. I was going to say something else. Would you ever yourself do a podcast about like what you went through and, or like, you know, rare diseases and such?
I've thought about it a few times. I went back and forth with it. In the end, I didn't end up going that route. I'm just busy with life and other things. But
yeah.
I've had the opportunity to just go on other people's shows, which has been really rewarding, and just share my story and recommend people that I think would be good guests. And yeah, just kind of doing that.
Yeah. And I saw you on social. You're doing great. You really are reaching people.
Yeah, it's been amazing to not only reach, you know, patients, people that have gone through GBS, people that are going through it, but even like people in the medical profession that don't really know GBS, they don't really understand it, helping educate them as well.
That is so smart. You know, there should be like a textbook where people who have the disease write about like their experience and like what they know, because you're experiencing yourself. Like that should be a thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much one of the main reasons why I wrote my book as well. It's just not only to help people, like patients, but to explain to a doctor, like, okay, this is what it's like from the patient perspective.
Oh my God, that is so great. Textbook-wise, like a whole class. Mm-hmm. Be like, okay, this is the patient advocacy class, guys, that is a mandatory to take. It's not elective. It's mandatory. That should be a thing. I think we need to go pitch that to whoever who... I don't know, I'm assuming it's probably the government. But that is a good idea because at the end of the day, it's like, we do know more. And it's like you were saying before in the beginning, it's, they're doing their best from what they know, but we can't expect them to know everything. They're human too, you know? Yeah, and what you experience, you're a pro out. Yeah.
And all we can do is educate them.
Of course. Oh, Holly, I want to say, you're amazing. You're so amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
I appreciate you. I'm going to put all your information in description, such as your Instagram, your book. Did you have TikTok, I think?
I do have TikTok, yeah.
Okay, I was trying to like remember. I clicked all your stuff, so your TikTok as well. Because you create such great you create amazing content, so that's definitely like something that I want people to see as well. So I'll put all that in the description for you. But yes, thank you so much for coming on.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for having me, Justine. It's been great.